bloody hell is this?
Oh boy, oh boy.
It can't be.
Footy Mythbusters.
It's time to bust another myth or set it as a legendary part of our game. Please. To do that this week, we've got an absolute beauty. 230-game superstar, three premierships for the Tigers, Richmond Team of the Century, and he, of course, had 27 touches in the 1980 Grand Final. I speak of their halfback flanker. A lot of you guys would have heard of this guy, Merv Kane. Absolutely. Mervin, welcome to you.
Thank you, BT. How's everything?
Very good. Mervin, of course, involved in recruiting at Essendon these days and going along beautifully there. Chunky's his nickname, as he's affectionately known. Now, Merv, I want you to shut up and listen for the next couple of minutes. I want to paint a scenario, and I want to know whether it's myth or legend as to what happened prior to the 1980 Grand Final. So, boys, get this in your heads.
1980, right.
Punt Road Oval, okay? 1980 Grand Final week, Tuesday night of training. 10 to 12,000 people there to watch training. Richmond are going to play Collingwood in the 1980 Grand Final.
Oh, yes.
The car park, which Duck parks in to come here on a regular basis, was absolutely chock-a-block. Players were forced to then open the MCC car park was open for players to be able to park close to Punt Road on the beautiful grass that was there. Now, I am told on this particular night, on the Tuesday of the Grand Final, that was slightly slippery.
Oh, no. Dewy.
Slippery, dewy. Little bit of soft rain, fluffy rain.
Soft, fluffy.
Fluffy.
Soft rain, Jimmy.
And the traction was not what it should be.
Right.
Yep.
Jimmy Jess, the ghost.
The ghost.
Lived out in Flemington. He drove through the city, as he normally would to come to training, picks up Mick Malthouse, who was the back pocket grunter, at the accident board property in Spring Street, brings him to training. He arrives at the slightly slippery car park.
Soft rain.
Mervin Kane, our guest today, was getting out of his vehicle in the car park. 1980 Tuesday night Grand Final. be careful, boys. Yeah. Don't get yourself in any trouble or injured.
Yep.
And anyway, Mervin's getting out of his car. At the same time, Malthouse and Jimmy Jess, the ghost, arrive in their car together. Jimmy Jess says to Mick Malthouse, "Let's scare the shit out of Merv Kane and go straight at him with the car." So Ghost propelled the vehicle to about 60 k's an hour, slammed on the anchors, and all of a sudden it started aquaplaning towards Mervin.
Oh, no.
Mervin at this stage had his front door open, his bag on his shoulder, and he's ready to go to Tuesday night training for the Grand Final and play a magnificent game, which he had 27 touches in too, by the way, and kicked a couple of goals.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, bang!
Oh, no.
The Jim Jess propelled car under the direction of Mick Malthouse goes into the door. At this stage, Merv had seen it coming from quite some distance, had jumped onto the rail on the outside of the car. The door wrapped around Mervin. It was completely bent around him. Bruised ribs. Went to training that night.
Got 27 touches.
Yeah. A few minutes later, goes to training, goes to stretch the old hamstrings and just touch his toes. And his whole back locked up, couldn't move, had to be carried in with his head pointing to the ground towards his toes.
He's locked up.
And Mervin, this was on the Grand Final week. Is this story true or is it myth?
Word perfect, BT. I'm going to have to say fact.
Did I miss anything, Merv?
No, you got the lot.
What were they thinking, these blokes?
I had a good seat, I tell you, because I could just see the whites of their eyes. They were looking like saucers. They realised this was going to end terribly, you know.
And Jim Jess was the driver, not Malthouse?
I think it was the ghost, the driver, yep, with Malthouse in the, you know, the navigator, you know. Let's get in.
Not a lot of people know that Mick Malthouse in those days, like you and I know, Chunky, was the, he was the prankster of the club, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely both of them, you know. They're both pranksters, so absolutely.
Were you at any stage concerned that you wouldn't play in the grand final as a result of the, I'm talking almost broken ribs, and your state in which you tried to exercise?
Sort of did enter my mind when I realised I couldn't stand up, you know, couldn't come up from the toe touching. But they wheeled
touches.
Me in and sorted it out, yeah.
Merv, did you tell anyone at the club what happened?
Yeah.
No.
Did TJ know?
No, nothing got out. I think it was between the three of us.
Right. Wow. So I've never heard this story until this week. I was talking to another prominent Richmond player, Michael Roach, who told me about it, and I hadn't heard it either, and I was part of the club in those days. So you kept it undercover. No one ever found out their move then?
No. Well, I suppose there was a bit of, you know, there was a bit of fun and frivolity after it, you know. It got out a little bit, but thank God it all worked out.
Hey, Merv, well, we've got you on the line, and thank you very much for just proving that myth to be correct.
Yes,
but tell us a bit about Bristol, the young Brian Taylor, when he wandered, when he swaggered into Punt Road.
Not too much.
And mainly, Merv, I want to know about the famous Richmond disco.
Yes.
No, he's a legend on the dance floor.
He wouldn't have danced. Did he dance?
Didn't do a lot of dancing.
Yeah, no, he did. No, he. I tell you what, they were circled around him. Don't worry about that.
Twinkle toes.
Very nice, Merv.
Gentlemen, well, gentlemen, on and off the field, a gentleman. Absolutely.
Good on you, Merv. I appreciate your time and coming on. And but you've had a bit of a tough period over the last few months, and we thank you for that. Good on you, mate.
No worries. Well told, anyway. Good story.
Well done.
Well done.